Hiya kwee, everyone. My name is Lucinda Autumn. I'm a member of the Yurok tribe, and today I'm going to be chatting with you about coping with grief using dialectical behavior therapy. You may be asking yourself, what is dialectical behavior therapy? Well, dialectical behavior therapy, or DBT, as I'll call it throughout this presentation, is a form of therapy that teaches coping skills focused on using mindfulness. Now, if you don't know what mindfulness is the ability to be fully present, aware of where we are, what we're doing, and not be overly reactive or overwhelmed by what's going on around us. Mindfulness is actually very related to Indigenous people. If you think about our cultural ceremonies, whenever you go to a ceremony, you're supposed to be in the right state of mind. If you have any negative feelings or negative thoughts, you have to put those to the side so that you can be present in the moment and be aware of what's going on around you and be able to contribute your prayer and your strength to the ceremony. That's all mindfulness. Being aware of how you're feeling and being able to set that aside is a very powerful mindfulness skill. It's the same thing with making regalia and necklaces, any of those sort of things, because when you're making that stuff, you also have to be in the right mind frame. You have to focus all of your attention on what you're doing. Some of the things, if you aren't paying attention and you mess up, that's it. You know, you can't really fix it. So mindfulness is incredibly important for making regalia. You could also say the same for fishing, hunting, gathering. All of those things require to be very mindful and present of what you're doing, what the purpose is of what you're doing, and making sure that you're taking the right shot, making sure that you're pulling the net the right way, making sure that you're gathering the right things. Mindfulness is all around us. That kind of means that mindfulness is actually really intuitive to us as Native people. And if we can use what we've grown up doing, using mindfulness to help us cope with emotions, it's actually really powerful. That's actually one of the things that really drew me to DBT, was the fact that I already knew about mindfulness. I just didn't know what it was called necessarily, but it gave me kind of a leg up in practicing these things and being able to talk about them because I've been practicing them all my life. So back to our main topic then. How can we use DBT with grief? Grief can affect us in a lot of different ways. And one thing to remember about it is that it's really sneaky and incredibly tricky. So it's sneaky because just comes, right? Sometimes we have no indication that it's going to come. We're walking along, thinking we're doing okay, and then bam, just smacks us right in the face, you know? It's also tricky because we can change how we react to it emotionally. We might feel angry, we might feel sad, we might feel hopeless, or there's tons of other emotions that we might feel when we're feeling grief. Whatever emotion that it is that we're feeling, the grief magnifies it, and we feel that emotion incredibly intensely. Now, DBT has many skills to help cope with intense emotions. It's actually one of the reasons why it was created, was to help with these intense emotions that people felt that they weren't able to regulate, they didn't really understand. The first skill that I want to talk with you today is called TIP. Now, TIP is an acronym. If you don't know what an acronym means that every letter of the word has a different meaning. So for TIP, the letters mean temperature, intense exercise, paced breathing, and progressive muscle relaxation. And we'll get into a little more explanation of those things fairly shortly. Now, TIP is a skill that you use for really intense emotions. So if you think about your emotions on a scale, so on one side, it's 1, like you barely feel it. The other side would be 100, the most you've ever felt that emotion. TIP is a skill that you want to use when you're on this higher end of the emotional scale. The reason we want to use it was when we're on a higher end of the emotional scale is that when we're feeling those intense emotions, our body prepares us for action. So if we're going to fight something, our body prepares us by giving us extra adrenaline. If we're going to try and run away, we use that extra adrenaline, and it'll also increase our heart rate and our respiration rate so that we can get away as fast as possible. So all of those things are happening whenever you feel an intense emotion, whether or not you're in danger, whether or not there is something that you should actually be fighting or running from. Your body will prepare you in the same way. Okay, so our first letter is temperature, and this is tip the temperature of your face with cold water. One thing that I really like about this is that our ancestors have been using cold water to cleanse themselves spiritually for thousands of years. That's something that you learn when you're young, is that cold water is cleansing. So that's one thing that's cool, and one thing that can help with your emotional level. Scientifically, there's also a reason. When your face gets hot, because you have increased heart rate, so you're getting more blood up there, by tipping the temperature of your face with cold water, it actually lowers your heart rate. So your heart rate's up here, get cold water splashing on your face, and it'll go down pretty significantly. And when your heart rate goes down, your emotional level will also go down. So two things to remember about temperature. One, our ancestors use it for spiritual cleansing purposes, just something that can help when you're feeling emotional. Two, scientifically, our heart rate will decrease, and therefore making our emotional level decrease if we're able to tip the temperature of our face using cold water. Our next letter, I, is for intense exercise, and this is calming your body down with intense aerobic exercise. Now, there are a couple different reasons why this works for a native people, for a native person. The first is that when you think about the lifestyle of our ancestors, it was very active. You know, hunting, gathering, fishing, all of those things require a lot of physical strength. And you wouldn't think that spending all day gathering would be that hard, but if you've ever done it, you're real sore the next day. It requires a lot, you know? So putting ourselves in a spot where we can feel connected to those ancestral ways by perhaps using intense exercise can be very calming. You know, it can be sort of a spiritual experience, which can help us to get through when we're feeling very emotionally elevated. The scientific part of it is that when you use intense exercise, you're giving your body an outlet for all of that adrenaline that you were given to try and deal with whatever it is, whatever threat that your body has thought that there is. So there's two parts to that. The first one, of course, is being able to feel connected to your ancestors. And the second is that you're giving your body an outlet through physical exercise for all that adrenaline that your body has given you to deal with whatever threat it is that is there. The first P is paced breathing. Now, this is very simple. It's just slowing your pace of breathing way down. So as I mentioned before, when your body is preparing for flight or for fight, your respiration rate will go up, and that's your breathing rate will go up, because your body wants you to be able to do what it has you have to do, and you need oxygen to be able to do that. So you want to slow your pace of breathing way down. One thing to try is to breathe for 4 seconds in and 6 seconds out, and do that for 1 or 2 minutes. Now, if you tried that, you'll notice that 4 seconds is a really long time. We're not used to breathing so much. We're not used to breathing in so much oxygen, especially if you're doing it the way you're supposed to, which is breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth. So if you can't get to 4 seconds in and 6 seconds out, that's okay. You could just do the count of four in and the count of six out. The most important thing is that when you exhale, remember exhaling out through the mouth, it's longer than when you inhaled through the nose. And if you do it for 1 or 2 minutes, you'll notice that your heart rate will come down. Okay, you're controlling your breathing, so you know your respiration rate is going down, but your heart rate will also go down, which, as we've learned, when your heart rate goes down, your emotional level goes down as well. The last P is progressive muscle relaxation. And this is just tensing and releasing each muscle group. So a lot of times it's easiest to remember to start from the top and then move to the bottom. So if you were going to try this, the first thing you would do is tense up your face. So you tense, squeeze, count to five, and relax. So it'll look something like this. Looks kind of funny, I know. But it's very important that you squeeze and you're counting to five and then you relax. So what you want to do is breathe in first, squeeze, and you might be holding your breath a little, count to five while you're doing that, and then relax and exhale. And while you're exhaling, remember exhaling through the mouth, also say out loud or in your head the word relax. And then you just follow down your body. So from your head, you go to your shoulders, right? Hold them up. And then count to five, relax. You do your arms, tighten them, count to five, and then relax. And you do your core, which is your belly, and your legs after that, and then your feet. So by the time you've done all that, you will feel much more relaxed. Now, part of that is when you're emotionally stressed, your body starts to get tense, and your body communicates to your mind. So if your body feels tense, your mind will also feel tense. And by forcing yourself to create tension, by squeezing, right, then you're grabbing all the tension you didn't even know was there. And when you release, you're relaxing it all. Now, as you noticed, when I squished up my face, it looks a little bit silly. So if you have that sudden grief anxiety attack, right, in the middle of a store or in the middle of class, and you don't want to squish up your whole face to try this, that's okay. A little trick is to squeeze in a muscle group that nobody can see. And you're going to laugh at this. I can almost guarantee you're going to giggle a little. But if you squeeze your Murter, which is your bum in your hock, and your core, and hold it for the count of five, and then relax, and you do that a couple times, that will actually work really well to help relax you. So squeezing the muscle groups that people don't see, which I always think of as your core and your bum. So trying that a few times, that will definitely help you to relax that tension that you may have in the largest areas of your body. You know, your core and your bum are the largest muscles in your entire body. Okay, the next skill that I want to talk to you about today, or chat with you a little bit about, is called IMPROVE. So like TIP, IMPROVE is an acronym. So all the letters mean a certain thing. With this, we've got I as imagery, M as meaning, P as prayer, R as relaxation, O as one thing in the moment, V as vacation, and E as encouragement. Now, there are a couple things that I really like about this skill. The first is that you can use this skill every day, even if you're not feeling emotional, even if you're just having a regular day. If you use this skill, you can improve every single minute that you have. Why would you do that? Well, one of the reasons why this is beneficial is if you improve every minute of every day, then you're raising your emotional baseline. So if this is your normal emotional baseline, right, this is where you are when you're just feeling okay, then using IMPROVE can raise it just a little bit. Now, by doing that, when something upsetting happens and you're feeling bad or you're feeling worse, right, so let's say you're down here after something bad happens, then it takes a lot more effort to get up here. If you use IMPROVE every day, so let's say this is my emotional baseline, and I'm practicing using IMPROVE every day for a month or so, then my emotional baseline comes up here. Something happens, some sneaky grief attack happens, I just fall down here. It's a lot easier to get back than if I fell all the way down here. So it's kind of like prevention. We can prevent ourselves from being so hurt by the things that happen by improving every day of our life, every moment of our life. And you can also use it when you're feeling emotionally elevated. You can use this as well. So I like that because it can do both things. Imagery. So the first part is imagining relaxing scenes of a calming, safe place. And some of you might recognize this picture. This is Aga Beach over at Sume State Park. And I picked this picture because this is one of the places that I feel the most calm and safe in Agate Beach, and I have plenty of wonderful memories to pick from, being on the beach or walking down to it. So when I'm upset, I can close my eyes. I can pick any number of the times that I've been there and just imagine that I'm there right then. What that does is that tells your brain and helps you realize that there are calming places out there. There are safe places out there. And you may not feel like you're in one now, but that's okay because you can go there again. The other thing with imagery is that it requires a lot of practice when you're not emotionally elevated, so that when you are, you know what to do. So if you can think of two or three places that you feel very calm, you feel very, very safe, and you can practice closing your eyes and imagining them in as much detail as you can, then you do that lots of times when you're not emotionally elevated. When you are upset or sad or angry, you close your eyes and you can go right there. It's a lot easier. Whereas that's not intuitively what we think to do. So it requires a lot of practice when you're not feeling emotionally elevated. The next letter is meaning. So meaning is finding or creating some purpose or meaning. Now, this one is kind of difficult with grief because a lot of times the things that we're grieving, it's hard to find a purpose for them. It's hard to find meaning for why this person was taken from us or why this happened to us. This one's very difficult with grief. So I'm going to give you a little something that has helped me dealing with different times in my life when I had some grief. I call this the survivors. That's what I think of. So what I want you to do, first thing, is put your hand on your heart. And then take a few deep breaths. What I want you to do is try and concentrate on feeling your heartbeat. Now, right now, it may be a little difficult because you're probably pretty calm, pretty relaxed. But if you were emotionally elevated, your heart would be beating a lot faster, be beating a lot harder. So just take a few seconds to try and find your heartbeat. If you know anything about science or anatomy, you know that your heart, every time it beats, it's pushing blood to all the parts of your body. Now, the blood that runs through your veins is made up of the same stuff of the blood that ran through the veins of your ancestors. Every single one of us has ancestors who were survivors. The fact that we are here today shows us that the people that came before us survived. They survived attempted genocide. They survived people trying to destroy their culture, trying to destroy their way of life. And it was difficult, but they did it. The same blood that runs through them runs through us, runs through me, runs through you. Every time that your heart beats, it's distributing that strength. It's distributing that survivor instinct to all the parts of your body. Those people made it because they knew that they could not be destroyed. We as a people will not be destroyed. We have a purpose. Each one of us has a purpose to carry on our cultural ways. Each one of us has a purpose to carry on the strength of our ancestors. When I can't think of anything else, I remember that. Surviving is my purpose, and I will get through this. That's my favorite one. And it changes every time that I think of every time I think of it, it changes, but that's what I like to tell myself. So the next letter then is the P, which is prayer. Prayer is opening your heart and asking for strength to bear the pain in this moment. Now, a lot of us have grown up knowing about prayer and practicing prayer. But one thing that I really want to stress is that there's not a wrong way to pray. A lot of us use angelica root so that the smoke can carry our prayers up to the Creator. Some of us sing, and some of us pray while we're walking. Some of us meditate. Whatever it is that makes you feel connected to a higher power, that's your form of praying. And as long as you find one that works for you, keep doing that. After prayer is relaxation. So this is just very simple. Do something that feels relaxing to you. So I've got this little kitty and he looks very relaxed. He's taking a nap on his back, all stretched out. Relaxation feels different for everyone. For many people, they like different things. Some people might like yoga. I do not like yoga. I am very inflexible, so that's not relaxing to me. But if it's relaxing to you, you could do that. You could listen to music. If we're talking about doing things in the indigenous way, you could also listen to indigenous music. I know that there are brush dance songs that I hear, and they automatically just make me feel calm and relaxed. I'm singing my own songs that I've had for the majority of my life, or the ones that have come to me recently. That also helps me. That makes me feel relaxed. Or spending time with your family. If that's relaxing to you, then you can do that as well. It's just for everyone, it's a little bit different. The most important thing is that whatever it is that you're doing, you get relaxation from it. The O in improve is one thing in the moment, and this is focusing your entire attention on what you're doing right now, being aware of body movements or sensations while you're doing tasks. And as I mentioned earlier, regalia is one thing that we do where you have to be completely in the moment. If you have negative thoughts or negative feelings going on in your life, if you're going to work on something, you have to put those to the side, and you have to be in your best mind frame to be able to work on these things. Otherwise, it could affect the work and it could affect the final product. So that's one thing that we as Indigenous people do for being in the moment. But really, you could think of pretty much anything as long as you're focusing your entire attention on what you're doing in that moment and not letting the past or the future get in the way. So that's what one thing in the moment is making sure that you're only doing and only focusing on what you're doing right now, and letting go of all the other things that may be trying to get in the way. The V in improve is for vacation, and this is giving yourself a brief vacation, getting outside, taking a walk, unplugging from electronics. Now, the picture I put up here is one that may look familiar. It's of the Samoa beach over there by Eureka. I picked this picture because it has significance to me. When I was a teenager, and I was struggling, when I was having really intense emotions, I would go here and I would go on a walk. Sometimes I would sing to the ocean, sometimes I would collect rocks, sometimes I would just spend time standing and looking and allowing myself to be surrounded by the beach, and I would always feel a lot better afterwards. Now, I didn't know at the time that that was a coping skill, but it is. It's the coping skill of vacation. As Native people, we have a very strong connection to land, a very strong connection to nature. So by allowing ourselves to get out there and be surrounded by nature around us, it can be very healing, and it can make us feel better when a lot of other things haven't. So vacation is another powerful skill that we can use just as Indigenous people, getting out there, getting into nature and feeling better. Our final letter of improve is encouragement. And this is pretty simple. It's just cheerleading yourself with encouraging statements. And I picked one up there that you can use if you like. Just, I won't give up. But really anything will work. Anything that makes you feel motivated will work. Some popular ones are, I'm stronger than this. I will not be defeated. I can't be taken down. I can make it through this. Pretty much anything that makes you feel motivated and gives you the strength to just get past the moment will work for encouragement. Also, just affirmations. So practicing affirmations daily. A lot of times looking in the mirror and practicing your affirmations will make a big difference in how you feel about yourself and how you feel about life. So encouragement can be either encouraging statements in the moment or affirmations for improvement of life just in general. Okay, and that's all I've got for you today. So if you want more information on mindfulness in general, I've got a website on there for you about getting started with mindfulness, a little bit of the background and kind of the good stuff it does for you. For more information about DBT, all the information that I shared with you today is from the DBT Skills Manual for Adolescents. This is also the book that I use when I'm teaching DBT in a professional capacity to teenagers that I work with. So it's really good. It's really easy to read. It's got a lot of good information in it. Right. Thank you for paying such close attention. I know it's difficult when it's just a person talking at you for 25 minutes, but I really appreciate you guys paying attention and learning about all the things that I had to share with you today. I also want to thank my sister, Lale Lawrence, for asking me to be a part of this conference, even though I couldn't do it in person. I really wanted to, but I couldn't make it work. But I really appreciate having the opportunity to have something for you guys to kind of chat with about something that I love, which is, you know, DBT and being Indigenous. I love both of those things. So I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference and you get something good out of it. And shoot.